Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. On this week's episode, NAHU's Marcy Buckner, John Green, and Chris Hartman will review the ongoing steps that Congress is taking to address surprise and balance billing issues. We'll look at the recently finalized FAA reauthorization legislation that provided more regulatory authority over air ambulances, and how NAHU is working with senators on forthcoming balance billing legislation. We'll also look at how you can join NAHU's efforts to educate the incoming members of Congress as we inch closer to the November elections. Before we begin, as a reminder, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and to rate us. The podcast is posted every Friday on these platforms ahead of being distributed through NAHU's member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. The big whoop for the Washington Update podcast this week is the final passage of the FAA reauthorization legislation. NAHU has closely followed this because a provision of it will give greater regulatory authority over air ambulances that may help to address issues with exorbitant surprise medical bills that aren't covered by insurance. How is NAHU working to shape this after it is signed into law by President Trump?
Well, this reauthorization, as we said, passed the House and Senate. It's now expected to be signed into law by Trump. Unfortunately, as they were moving through the process approving the language in this bill, the House bill had a section that would have allowed states to have a little more flexibility in how they're able to oversee air ambulances, and specifically with the surprise billing of the use of air ambulances. Unfortunately, that language was taken out when it went over to the Senate side and wasn't put back in. So that's something that I think we'll continue to focus on, because it does have to change at the federal level for states to then be able to be given the power to regulate air ambulances within their borders. But in the meantime, something that this bill does that's good for us, other than increasing the room required for leg space on airplanes.
That's a health issue too, Marcy.
It is. It will make us all much happier travelers when we're coming out to visit your chapters. But something else that it's doing that's good is it's putting together a stakeholder group to look at different ways that they can improve the air ambulance system. Chris, do you want to talk about how Congress sometimes puts these stakeholder groups together as part of legislation?
Yeah, so the bill creates a stakeholder group to actually work on improving the situation around surprise billing for ambulances. So for those who might not be familiar, the difficulty is that you are, say, in a state like Montana, you have a major medical emergency, and there is not a hospital at that level one trauma level in the state of Montana, and you have to be flown to Seattle. Well, that all works unless that air ambulance that comes gets you is not in a network. And so individuals have been left with very expensive bills from these essentially ambulance helicopters that take people to hospitals. Or sometimes it's about transferring people between hospitals. And these helicopters are also not in the network. So Congress set up this essentially a commission that will work on this with interested stakeholders. Specifically, they point out the air ambulance industry, who should be at the table, and the insurance industry, who is also at the table. NAHU, I think, can be part of this conversation as part of the insurance industry, but also as a consumer advocate who's really looking out for those who work with agents to get their health care, but then get stuck with that surprise bill when they didn't see any of that coming.
And so I think NAHU, along with the NEIC, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, will really be the leaders here looking at consumer protections, and especially with the goal, like many NAHU members have, of trying to do whatever we can to steer this regulation so that air ambulances can be regulated by state insurance commissioners and that it's not part of the federal FAA.
And this final legislative language was, we were asked for our input throughout this process. We went in and met with the Commerce staff and were asked to weigh in on some of this final language. So, you know, to your point about perhaps being a participant as a consumer advocate, that's a real possibility.
In a related issue, NAHU is also working closely with a number of senators on draft legislation to combat surprise balance billing for traditional medical services.
We discussed this last month on the podcast, but what is the current status of this, and how is NAHU helping to shape the bill?
The status of the bill is still in draft form, but we have had some of the staff from Senator Cassidy's office reach out to us about the language in the bill and asking us to provide feedback on how the language is put together now. NAHU, many of you know, has a legislative council and working groups that are kind of subcommittees off of that. And one of those subcommittees is the surprise balance billing subcommittee. And so the members of that group are getting together and talking about this draft and are going to be helping us form comments so that we can make sure that your thoughts are really reflected here. You all are normally the ones that are speaking with consumers when they get a surprise bill and are having to try to negotiate with the insurance carriers on this. But we also want to make sure that we're not causing any problems while trying to make a solution. There's a lot of concern that some of the carriers and employers will be picking up the costs that normally would be going into the surprise billing, which then has the concern from many that this could drive up premiums and have a negative effect on the market. So we're looking at all of these pieces while the bill is still a draft and hoping to get some of these things refined before it's introduced.
Yeah, keep in mind, this is just a marker. This isn't intended to be acted on this year. It's really a discussion draft to be refined and modified and perfected in the next Congress.
Yeah, I think Congress is going to take this topic really seriously next year. You're seeing all sorts of stories about surprise billing, and even stories about people who work in healthcare who think they made sure the hospital was in their network, made sure their surgeon was in their network, all these other steps, and then all of a sudden there was an anesthesiologist who was not in their network. And they get surprised by a bill. And these are from people who work either in the media or healthcare or health insurance and other areas. And so if they can't figure this out, how is the average consumer supposed to figure this out? And so something's got to give. My concern is that direction you could take this in is one where you say, well, any surprise bill, the insurance carrier will cover it. Or in the case of business, the employer will cover it. So if it's a self-insurer, then a self-insurer will cover it. The difficulty with that is, if I'm a doctor, why would I join any hospital network if I can charge whatever I want and I'm guaranteed that the insurance carrier or the corporation who self-insures is going to pay for it? I would never join one. So I think there's some unintended consequences that could happen with trying to get at surprise billing. And we don't want to destroy the entire network system of health insurance to get at the surprise billing.
We are now just a month away from the November elections. Regardless of which party controls each chamber, due to the number of retirements and closely contested races, there may be a significant number of new legislators for the next Congress. How is NAHU planning to get these lawmakers up to speed on our issues and to combat any proposals that could threaten our industry?
Well, I think this is a perfect commercial for Capital Conference.
Yes, John, it is a perfect commercial for Capital Conference. We are having Capital Conference in 2019 in February, so the members of Congress will have been sworn in for about a month. This is a really great time to come in and introduce NAHU, let the members of Congress know what agents do, the role that you play in your communities and with your clients, the role that you play in the market systems, being able to track trends and really be a resource for those offices, and then also to talk about some of the trends that we're seeing legislatively that could come up within this next congressional session. I think that February is going to be really important for us at Capital Conference to be on the Hill meeting those members, new members of Congress. But I also think a lot of our members are already active with this, meeting with candidates on both sides of the aisle, especially now in October as the House has gone out of session so they can go back and campaign. As you all know, every House seat is up for reelection. So that is another way that members can be active in making sure that whoever ends up representing their congressional district come 2019, that they have been introduced to an NAHU member. So get out there, go to the meet and greets, let them know what health insurance agents and brokers do, and then we'll take it from there and really drive home a lot of the initiatives that we'll be working on for market stability and for increasing choice and competition in the market.
Yeah, Chris and I are great lobbyists, but there are literally hundreds of new people coming to Washington. And we can't possibly touch every member as quickly as we can when you guys come and really knock on a lot of doors in February. So we really need your help and need your attendance at Capitol Conference.
Yeah, we're at record level of retirements. And so it's not even so much the results of this election. The sheer amount of people who are not running again just means we're going to have so many new people here next Congress. So it's not a question of do the Democrats take the House or do the Republicans control the House. There's going to be all these new people in Congress that we need to meet, that we need to tell them about the value of an agent and really go beyond that. Tell them about the health insurance system. Tell them about the employer-based system that 181 million Americans used. Tell them about how things actually are working with businesses, with the insurance carriers, with the individuals, with those seniors on MA. And I think that's the project that's going to be laid out for us in the new year.
It's now time for the Senior Moment, NAHU's review of key happenings in Medicare and long-term care policy. John, as a lead of these issue areas, what is your Senior Moment for the week?
The lead for this week is that open enrollment is right around the corner. We want to acknowledge here that we recognize that you're gearing up for a very busy season. There are a lot of changes, very positive changes afoot, in that premiums are expected to be down. There'll be greater choices and flexibility in the type of benefits that Medicare Advantage plans can offer. So you'll have more to talk about, more choices, lower prices. You know, this is really a great season for you this year and all the enrollments this year.
And what about the change with Medicare Advantage open enrollment that was included in the 21st Century Cures Act to reinstate that open enrollment at the beginning of the year?
So I'm glad you brought that up. So it took 5 years to restore the open enrollment that we had prior to the ACA, from a disenrollment to back to the open enrollment option. Now, this is not intended to be an option for anyone to poach anyone else's clients. It is simply to allow someone in your book of business to make a one-time change. Perhaps their medication was changed or their doctor retired and is no longer in the network, to make a one-time change. It also, for those who are on low-income support who could change every month, it only allows a quarterly change, so to 3 times a year or 4 times a year.
And so this will be the first year that the reinstatement is in place, and it's January 1st through March 31st of 2019.
Looking ahead to what's on tap, the House is on recess until after the elections, while the Senate is expected to remain in session for much of October. What should we expect over the course of the next month before Congress reconvenes for the lame duck session after the November elections?
Of course, they're focused on the Kavanaugh, but they're also working on a whole slew of other judges and appointments in the administration. And so there'll be some appropriations, but I don't think there's anything in our space that's going to be addressed.
Yeah, it won't be heavily legislative. Obviously, the House is already gone, so that limits what even the Senate could achieve. The Senate is going to take up some of those small things the House did pass. But for the most part, we are talking about judges. We're recording this on Thursday evening, but we are expecting shortly to be a vote on the Supreme Court Justice nominee Kavanaugh. But I think after that, the Senate will continue along with more judges, more agency appointments, other things that need Senate confirmation, like ambassadors and others. And that will take up most of October. And my guess is that they'll actually only be in a couple of days each of those weeks, because part of the goal is to keep the senators here right up till Election Day to limit the amount of time they have back in their states. So I suspect that you'll have kind of you'll bring them back and then you'll be done voting by 2 sort of situation. And so don't expect a lot of legislation to happen in the next couple of weeks.
No, I think that's right. I had dinner with Leader McConnell last night, and that was basically his focus was on judges, and they might be cutting some deals to get them a few more days out of Washington, but that'll be between the leaders in the Senate.
And remember, the difference here is that only 33 senators are up for re-election, which is why all of the House is out campaigning, because they're all up for re-election. Only 33 of the 100 senators are up for re-election, so they are able to spend a little bit more time here working through October as they lead up to Election Day in November. And also remember, I know that we keep talking about these judicial appointments in the lower courts, but they are really important. A couple of years ago, I think there is the lowest rate of empty benches. And the Obama administration went through and nominated a lot of local justices. And this makes a big difference when we're seeing some of the cases like the Texas versus Azar case and whether they make it through the lower courts to even get to a Supreme Court hearing. So these pieces, it sounds like, oh, the Senate's just going to hang around in October and finish these appointments. It is really important, and it can shape the future depending on how many of those empty seats they can fill. And other than that, I think for October, you can expect a big increase in your campaign ads while you're watching TV.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, while Marcy's right, only one third of the Senate is up, you have to look at what one third of the Senate that is. And it's largely Democrats who are in states that voted for Donald Trump. And so it's in Mitch McConnell's interest to keep the Donnellys, the Heitkamps, the Joe Manchins away from being in their states and campaigning and keep them here in Washington. So I suspect that we'll see them here in Washington at least for a couple of hours each day in order to not allow them to be out on the campaign trail. But that is a game that's been played in politics by both sides over the years.
Finally, it's time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hours Toast of the Week. What are we toasting to this week?
This week, we're toasting to the Senate for passing the opioid bill. It is expected now to go to the president's desk and for President Trump to sign it. This has been a huge win for NAHU and for the consumers that you serve. The availability of treatment and the flexibility of plans is really going to be a win for your clients and has been a win for NAHU. So this week, we're toasting to the opioid bill.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for this week's installment of the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts, or to join as a member of NAHU, visit nahu.org.